my name is Dawn Gibson with DawnKGibson.com and the Confident Parenting Connection. And today I have a special guest, Kristen Buckley, who is going to talk to me a little bit about living our lives with greater alignment and really looking at what matters most to us on our deathbed and how we choose to live our lives rather than moving through our lives on autopilot, which so many of us do today. So first, welcome, Kristen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Kristen is a leadership coach and writer, and she's passionate about supporting others to live their best lives. She's an accomplished businesswoman and leadership coach with over 15 years of experience helping people and organizations realize their potential. She believes that the secret to a well-lived life is to envision what will make our deathbed self gush with pride and courageously weave that as a mainstay into our everyday lives. So I am so happy you're here. I love this topic. You know, people don't know who watch these, but, you know, I ask the person who, my guest, what they would like to do and what they would like to talk about whenever they come on. And usually it's something that really resonates with me and resonates with other people that I work with. And so I just really appreciate you bringing this topic to the forefront because this is not something that I have yet discussed on the Conversations at Connect. So thank you.
Cool. For being here.
So first, I'd like to know what brought you to this point in your life where you feel this passion about helping others live their fullest potential and gush and live courageously, you know, gush on their deathbed, so to speak, versus living in this rote, conditioned way.
Yeah, great question. I mean, I guess from my own personal experience, living in that autopilot way, I was in my late 20s making stupid, a lot of money and in a glamorous role, but I hated it and it was killing my soul, frankly. And I am the kind of person that once that comes into my consciousness that, hey, wait a minute, this is not working for me. I'm not someone that wants to just kind of step into the victim. It's like, okay, this is not working. Life is too short. I know it sounds cliche, but I had this light bulb moment back then in my late 20s. And I was like, this is life is way too short. So I need to kind of make something happen. So that sort of started my journey. And then, of course I had, almost a decade of fertility issues, which really, was a roller coaster ride and really had helped me examine, although I wouldn't trade it for the world because, I learned so much about what's really important in life. And sort of had to face that. So, you know, that kind of, really just made things clear about what's going to be important on my deathbed. Really, it's not making a lot of money and, you know, climbing the corporate ladder. It's going to be family and my health and all that good stuff. So that, and then becoming a mother, I know you're a mother as well. Then that was just like this sort of straw that broke the camel's back, just like life is too short. And it's just like coming out of me. Like, I feel like it's my life's work to just do what I can to help other people, who may feel the same way, but maybe they don't know where to start, or, they're not really sure even what needs to change in their life. They just know they're not happy. They're grumpy pants and something needs to change. So that's sort of been my journey. It sort of started with a career change. And now it's what, almost 20 years later, and, you know, doing way more stuff that feeds my soul than kind of, you know, feeds the ego.
You know, I find it amazing that in your 20s, when you were making crazy amounts of money and living in this corporate environment, that you were able to have that moment, because I feel like I remember how I was in my 20s, and I don't know that I mean, I was in grad school and all those things and working in what I was passionate about at that time, which was helping teenagers in the schools. But what brought you to that moment, and how did you get the courage to step out of that? Because I think when people, what I see with a lot of people, especially in the corporate environment,
yeah.
And I don't work with a lot of people in the corporate environment, but I know a lot of people in the corporate environment.
Yeah.
What I see is that they're dying on the inside on some level, but they're afraid to make a change because they don't want to lose the money, or they're afraid that they won't be able to support themselves. And they get into this really fear-based place around, you know, how is it going to work? And this will never work. So then they just stay instead of moving. So how did you, at such a young age, get the courage to just take the leap and say, you know what, this is soul sucking and I'm not going to do this anymore?
I don't really answer, you know, and I need to think about that a bit more. I mean, I think my initial reaction is that, like, courage is one of my greatest gifts. And, you know, and I've written a blog on sort of follow your fear, mm-hmm. because your fear is, it offers like unparalleled clues to where there's juicy points in your life that if you tap into it and you have the courage to kind of face it, just makes your life way easier. And I know that from my fear of changing careers and my fear of not being able to have kids. And so when you go to those scary yet really juicy places, it just on the other side is amazing. And I just want people to kind of get to that other side. So for me, I think it's courage, really. And so how do you
bottle that up?
Yeah, like, I know. You know,
but I have to say, I just got chills when you were talking about the fear and go, because I talk about going to the fear to help release it. And you're talking about, I've never heard anybody say it in the way that you just said it, that's where the juiciness is. That's where this shift and this change and this valuable lesson or valuable, whatever you want to call it, exides. Like that's where it resides. That's where it exists. And
totally.
And I love that. Like I've never actually, that's helped me even see it. And I don't look at fear as a bad thing. Like I don't see emotions as bad or good. I just, it is what it is. It's just energy moving through our body. But I love that idea of just following the fear, because if you think about it, and I in my past have worked with a lot of anxious women. I have been one of those anxious women. And it's like, you're constantly trying to get away from it and yes. push it down and ignore it. And you know, if you talk about it, it becomes real. You know, I hear that a lot too. I don't want to say anything about it because then it's real. Well, it's already real. It's there.
Yeah.
You're not facing it. But I love that. I want to hear more about that. Like, how do you do that in your own life? Like, how does that process work for you? Do you feel fear about something and then you just tackle it and move through it? Do you have something you say to yourself to move you through those? I mean, what is your...
Yeah. Great question. And I'm going to kind of think on the fly here. Cause
it's
that way before. I mean, I know I'm a big fan of self-care.
Yes.
So me too. Whatever that looks like, because if you have the self-care, then your tank is full. I like to speak. I read a great book for the corporate world, but it was great. It was based on athletes and what it looked at, like elite of the elite athletes, and said, okay, well, what are these guys doing, or guys and gals doing, that is different from sort of your general run of the mill athlete? And then they applied that to the business world. And one of the things was around energy, and that you can't always be go, go, go.
No.
These elite of the elite, they have time for rest, and they take that very seriously. Right. So it's the same thing in our own lives applying it. It's like, I'm a type A. I call myself a recovering type A.
Yes, me too.
I have to be very mindful of that, because it can easily just kind of take over my life. So if I'm taking care of me and having time each day, I try to tune in to myself. What's going on with my emotions, as you said, because your emotions are just their emotions, right? Let's be mindful of them and not attach them necessarily, and know what to do with them to move, because they're just trying to communicate with us,
yes.
right? And tell us that something needs to change, or that, you know, something's unsettling and it needs attention. So I really try to be mindful of that, so that I can keep my tank full, so that I can be the best mother I can be, so that I can be in the best service of my own potential that I have, right? So having that tank full helps me muster the courage, helps me kind of have the energy to put into, once I've got the courage there, to actually go for it. Because let's be honest, fear is frightening. Like it can take a lot of energy out of you.
And it can paralyze some people. Some people feel literally paralyzed by fear.
Yes.
And so I love going to it, tuning in. I'm a huge proponent of self-care. I will preach it till the day I die.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You know, I'm a really fast paced person. And over the years, I've really had to learn how to step back and start receiving, because we can go in action and keep putting that energy out, but then we're not creating space to allow ourselves to receive the things that we're putting energy out to receive. And you're right.
Yes.
You get burned out and you're so tired. And I know for myself, I have to be very conscious of, like this past week, even, you know, I was working. And after a long 6-7 week pause of not doing anything, literally, except seeing clients, And I noticed I was going back into the old patterns and I was missing my core routines. And so the last few days I had to say, okay, you know, I'm going to get my core routines back in place and do fill my tank, as you say, you know, to be able to move through the action oriented things I want to do. And I'm curious about how do you balance that in your own, and I think balance is not the right word. I don't really think there's such thing as balance, but how do you recalibrate when you're going? And how do you become aware that, oh, it's time to rest. It's time to bring some energy in, because when you're a recovering type A, it can be really hard to even stop and be conscious about that.
Yes. Well, and I actually just finished coming off of a time where I, on all this new direction for my business and the program I want to develop and learning the social media to kind of do all of that, I got overwhelmed. I let myself get sucked in over the last few weeks with that. And I was grumpy pants all the time. So I would pick up on triggers and be mindful of kind of how I was showing up in the world. Mm-hmm. And I began seeing, oh, okay, yeah, this is not good. Yes. So I spent, a good weekend, and then actually it seeped into Monday as well of this week of just not going online and going to those social, you know, I just needed a break from my program. I didn't open up my computer and you know, so it's sort of giving myself permission to stop. And I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown's work.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I got to speak when she was here in Austin a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I know she's speaking down in California.
It was pre-Oprah. So I got, you know, the women's conferences and stuff. So she's pretty amazing.
Totally. I mean, her stuff changed my life. I think her stuff on vulnerability is huge. And the whole I call it the busy is better bandwagon. I realized, you know, because she says, you know, that we wear that like a badge of honor, and it's so true. And I realized I was guilty of that. I thought, okay, if I keep busy, that's better. Then I'm accomplishing more. And what I'm realizing is that is such a coming from a place of scarcity. You were talking about it earlier, and it's like I'm worthy. I don't need to be busy all the time. I'm fine just the way I am. I don't have to be knocking out of the park all the time. So just giving myself that permission to not knock it out of the park all the time is a great self-care tool.
It is and a great
don't you find, like, you know, you were saying about slowing down, it's so true. I find that actually now that I slow down more and take better pace in my life, it's actually amazing what the universe or the whatever grander things going on, however you want to refer to it, things just come to you more naturally because you're not pushing. Is that, you know?
Yeah. You're going with the flow. And it's interesting. I was just talking to one of my business coaches yesterday, and she was saying, for me, she said, you know, instead of pushing to make things happen, to just allow things to pull me. And that's what I have been doing recently, because in the past I would just push, and there wasn't room and space for allowing. And quite frankly, I meditate more now, and I've always meditated, but I do it on a very regular basis now. And I allow space to tune in and to see what's happening and let whatever emotions arise. And I feel like those big pauses give you that time for the universe to show up, or spirit, or God, or, you know, to show up in your life in whatever way you're wanting. Because I really truly do believe, you know, with all of this said, that we are the creators of our own lives, and we get to decide what we bring into our lives and the type of relationships we have. And I know that's hard for some people. That used to be a challenging topic for me to really wrap my brain around growing up, but this is something that my dad has been instilling in me since I was a kid, but I didn't quite get it. You know, it's like, oh, Dad, his positive stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So, and now I feel like I say the same things that he's, you know, was saying when I was a child. But I feel like it is so important to allow that time and space. And it's that recalibration, you know, I was just talking about. It's like the going and then the receiving, the giving, the receiving, the allowing, and also learning how to be in action in a way that's not pushing, right? Yes. I mean, that's my learning. Part of my life, I feel.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I could totally relate to that too. It's like I learned, actually, that was the biggest piece. We went through a couple fertility IVF treatments, mm-hmm. and it was the third one that actually I have twin boys. Mm-hmm. And so people often ask me, well, what was different in the third time? You know, and then, and honestly, I know this sounds really frou-frou, but in the third one, I finally released and I surrendered that whole...
That doesn't sound frou-frou at all to me. I'm right there with you. I believe in that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I never really did until it happened to me, and I felt it in my bones, because there was in my cells, that once I released and I made it okay, then poof, you get what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You were ready in a different way, because I think especially, and I have not gone through fertility treatments. I know people who have, but I would imagine that, you know, the waiting would be really, really hard, like on a different level of waiting, you know, for someone. I don't know. I just feel like it'd be a different feel of wait versus someone who's not having fertility issues and waiting to see if they're pregnant. Like, I would imagine that it has this other quality to it that would be really intense.
Well,
and hard to surrender to.
Totally. Well, especially being a type A, control freak. So it's that one thing in life that I could not control.
Control. Yep.
Right. So the lesson was, okay, then I need to back off here. So how am I getting in my own way here? Mm-hmm. What, you know, is there anything? Because I, at that point, you're desperate. You're trying everything. So it's like, okay, so what is my emotional, spiritual life? How is that impacting my inability to get pregnant? Is it having an impact? Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I went there. Is like, okay, I gotta let go of this control freak. Maybe it has something to do with it. And so that's sort of what led to that. But yeah, I mean, it's tough for a control freaking kind of type A to surrender that, hey, I can't control this and I have to be okay with that. I gotta learn to be okay with that.
And that's tough for a lot of women, especially if you're in the driver's seat and
totally
kids and have their own business or working outside the home, you know, and taking care of all the things that we do in the home, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have this thing that you just have to realize, there's nothing I can do about this except to just be with it, allow it, and accept it. And I feel like that's part of it too, is allowing, whether it's a relationship or, you know, with a partner, for example, just allowing them to be who they are and accepting them as they are, but then focusing on yourself and what you can do to shift what's happening within you.
Yes.
And then eventually things in your life do start shifting and the relationships start shifting, your parenting shifts, the way you see yourself shifts. I mean, so many, and then there's this big ripple effect that just keeps moving out when we're able to really to allow and surrender.
Totally. No, that's well said. I was actually just at a parenting kind of workshop, which I don't go to a lot of those, but Gordon Neufeld, I'm not sure if he's based here in Vancouver, Canada. So I'm not sure how world renowned he is or whatever, but I heard him speaking. He was just talking about how children thriving and how to create that nurturing environment and the attachment. And he was, and it's amazing all that stuff, how I think that applies to adults too. So he was saying, you know, you ideally want to create a relationship where the child knows who they are in a relationship, and they know the difference between where they end and where the relationship begins. So they could feel comfortable being themselves, yet not compromising who they are for the relationship. And that's so huge for adults too. Like I know that dance, and you kind of touched on it, like with my husband, it's like, okay, well, I want to be me, yet I know that in a relationship, it's all about compromise, but where's that tipping point? Where's that fine line around how much am I going to compromise and in what areas am I going to compromise?
Right. And how much are you going to allow yourself? Well, and this is my philosophy, is to be completely you, and they get to have their feelings about that, you know, because on the other part of that, we can't change. Yeah. They feel about certain things, and their perception of us doesn't make it true. Just like my perception of my partner, or my husband, or my kids, or my friends, or whatever, it doesn't make it true. It might be true to me because that's how I'm perceiving it, but is it really true? Because someone over here might perceive it completely differently.
Yeah, you know? That's great. I love that.
Yeah. So it's I love the relationship talk, but I feel like I'm moving us on a tangent. I tend to do that. I'm like, oh, all this conversation is. So how, I want you to talk, cause we're going to finish up here in a couple of minutes, but I want you, I invite you to maybe give one piece of guidance or one little nugget of information to people watching. I mainly it's moms, watching of how they can move forward in this way. Like if they feel like they're in some soul sucking situation and they want to move out of it, what is one thing they can do to start moving in that direction, or one thing they can think about, or, I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a doing, but what would you suggest?
My first reaction is stop, let yourself stop long enough to really feel, to get at a cellular level that you're worth making this change for. That yes, it might not be easy. Yes, it might hurt people in the process. You might hurt yourself in the process, but that you're worth it. And that, you're worth it. Do it. You know, trust your instincts. Is something that's another huge lesson, but I won't take us on that tangent. It's just around trusting. I've learned to trust my instincts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I may not have facts to base it up. And the heady part of me mm-hmm. is like, oh, well, I don't have enough facts. But it really is true. Once you lead from your heart more and follow that intuition more, you know, great things come from it. I can't even describe, you know, it's just, yeah. So that would be my one thing, is just trust it and know that you're worth it, and that you can muster the courage to do something about it. Just do it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I feel like so many of us have these worthiness issues growing up, and then it really impacts us as adults, right? And I agree with you about trusting intuition, because our ego, our minds can judge us and get in the way and tell us these things that, oh, you're so crazy, why would you even do that? And then people around us are validating that belief. That story that we've been told growing up, you know, about ourselves, it's not even true. And the more we can lead with our hearts, and the more we can tune into that part of ourselves and what I consider, you know, our divine minds, our higher selves, our truest selves, then it doesn't let us down. And even if something feels scary or may not even look the way we exactly wanted it to look, there's always a learning from it, and it always will carry you on the correct path. I believe that as well.
Yes. Well put. Very well put.
So I want you to let people know where they can find you.
My website is www.kristenbuckley.ca. So KristenBuckley, BUCKLEY.ca.
And so everyone head on over there and learn more about Kristen. And again, I'm Dawn Gibson with DawnKGibson.com. And you can head over to my site to pick up 10 kick-ass ways to raise confident and self-confident and connected kids. And also check out a retreat that's coming up in New York, May 1st through 4th, that I will be presenting at. It's a chakra-inspired retreat that incorporates mindfulness and yoga and movement and all sorts of amazing things to get you rebalanced. Mm. And thank you so much, Kristen, for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to share with us. And much love to you. And we will talk to you later.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much. And bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.